Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, March the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. With me will be Pastor Mark Smith as we take a look at one of the Easter morning hymns we're singing, Awake My Heart with Gladness. This hymn was written by Paul Gerhardt, died in 1676. Editions of this influential hymn, the most important German hymnal of the 17th century, continued to be produced almost 60 years after his death, and was one of Gerhardt's 18 occasional poems that merited publishing in this hymnal. German Lutheran immigrants in America brought this and other beloved hymns by Gerhardt with them, but it was England, with poets such as Francis Elizabeth Cox, Richard Macy, John Kelly, and one of our favorites, Catherine Winkworth, where a large number of Lutheran hymns were translated. The translation, Awake My Heart with Gladness, originated with John Kelly, whose 1867 collection of Paul Gerhardt's spiritual songs helped to make Gerhardt's hymns accessible to English speakers. Whereas early Reformation hymnody proclaimed Luther's teaching universally and objectively, he was careful to employ the collective pronouns we and us. But Gerhardt's hymns were more personal, using the pronouns I and me. Fred Preck puts it this way: one looks in vain for hymns of the 16th century that address the individual heart, or that begin with a rousing or cheering, Awake My Heart. The remaining stanzas testify with joyful confidence to the truths of Romans 8:35-39, that, following Christ our leader, we are free from sin, the power of death, and the world, and that we are protected from all evil, that nothing is able to separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Pastor Smith, this hymn that has seven verses, Awake My Heart with Gladness, is the hymn we're going to be looking at. And for which service is it assigned?
For Easter sunrise service.
Yes. Did you always have an Easter sunrise service?
I did early in my ministry. I never will forget, we had Easter sunrise service one year, and it was just so happened that was the year that the time changed on us. And normally it would have been 6:30, but that year it was 5:30 in the morning. I've never seen so many bleary-eyed worshipers in church. I can still see some of those faces. But we did have Easter sunrise for a while, but then we just had then it was just two services, regular time.
Yeah, we had an Easter sunrise, but then that was followed by a breakfast.
Yeah,
for the whole congregation.
Right.
And then we had the other morning service after that. So, yes, Awake my heart with gladness. If you will please read the first stanza.
Okay, gladly. Awake my heart with gladness. See what today has done. Now, after gloom and sadness, comes forth the glorious sun. My Savior there was laid, where our bed must be made, when to the realms of light our spirit wings its flight.
Now, you said, see what today was done. It really says, see what today is done.
No, that's what I said. See what today is done, right?
Okay.
He is risen.
Yes. Awake my heart with gladness. So, who is that following in the Bible that ended up on Easter awaking with gladness?
Well, I think of Mary Magdalene. I think of the ladies. I think of the ladies that made it, who were the first ones to go to the tomb on that first Easter morning.
It says that after the angel told them that he had risen, that they could hardly believe it, went back to the disciples to tell them, and the disciples did not believe them.
Yes. Yeah, then that picture of John and Peter racing to the tomb. I always think of that.
Now, after gloom and sadness comes forth the glorious sun. What was the gloom and sadness?
Well, of course, the last thing that they had witnessed was Christ's grim death on the cross, and then taking down the body and laying it in the tomb. I mean, this was the one that they had thought to be the Savior. And remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? We thought that he was the Savior. You know, we thought that he was going to reign in victory. And so that's the gloom that they were talking about.
Exactly. My Savior there was laid. Now, is that talking about the cross?
No, that's talking about the tomb.
Yes, because what follows it?
Well, for one thing, his descent into hell.
No, in the verse.
In the verse? Let's see. Our Savior there was laid where our bed must be made.
Yes. Now, is our bed laid in the same tomb as Jesus?
Well, in a sense, because we're told in the scriptures that when we're baptized, we're baptized unto his death.
Excellent.
That we're raised again.
Buried with him.
Right.
Yes. And when to the realms of light, our spirit wings its flight. Now, isn't that a very good understanding? That not our body, but our spirit.
Right.
That's referred to as the time of the interim.
Right.
What does that mean?
Our spirit goes to be, this very day you'll be with me in paradise, Jesus told the thief on the cross.
Excellent.
So our spirit goes to be with him in paradise, and our body too. On the last day, our body too will be raised in glory, and we'll rejoin our spirit for all eternity in that new heaven and new earth.
Yes. I'll read stanza 2. The foe in triumph shouted when Christ lay in the tomb. But lo, he now is routed. His boast is turned to gloom. For Christ again is free, in glorious victory. He who is strong to save has triumphed over the grave. Who is the foe?
The old evil foe, Satan himself.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I love that picture. I love that picture of the foe in triumph shouted when Christ lay in the tomb. You know, he thought he'd won the battle. You know, Christ was dead on the cross. But lo, he now is routed. And that's the picture I think of with Christ's descent into hell, going into hell not to suffer, but to proclaim that Satan is finished.
You mentioned, or maybe it was, I forget which of you, who mentioned about that film of Jesus' crucifixion. Do you remember the opening scene of that?
Yes, I think you're thinking of, that wasn't me, but I think you're thinking of The Passion of the Christ.
Yes.
The opening scene is in the garden, and it shows Christ stomping on the head of Satan.
Well, very good, very good. That's how the serpent is routed. It reminds us of Genesis 3:15.
Right.
That while Jesus will be wounded, the serpent would be killed.
Right.
And that's what it does mean. Lo, he now is routed. Children may not understand that. What does that mean?
Routed means he's running. He's running for his life, and he's being chased by God in defeat. He's routed. He's got no chance. He's just running for dear life, and he's going to be thrown into the bottom of the pit forever.
Exactly. That is the route that he is routed to. And his boast is turned to gloom. For Christ again is free in glorious victory. What is he freed from?
He's free from death.
Yes. And he's,
and because he's free, we too are free, and we'll be freed bodily as well as spiritually.
Excellent. All right, stanza 3, please.
This is a sight that gladdens. What peace it doth impart. Now nothing ever saddens the joy within my heart. No gloom shall ever shake. No foe shall ever take the hope which God's own Son in love for me has won.
All right. It says, nothing ever saddens the joy within my heart. Is that true? Are not Christians saddened a lot of times in their heart?
Yes, but you know, when we keep focused on his resurrection and the triumph that he has won for us, the sadness is turned to joy. The sadness melts away. I mean, yes, when we stand at the tomb of our loved ones that we've just laid to rest, sure, we too are saddened, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope.
But we do grieve.
Yes.
And that is our heart being saddened, isn't it? What
right.
I'm trying to understand is, how do we properly understand that? Now, nothing ever saddens the joy within my heart.
Well, Jesus tells us, your joy no man taketh from you. Nothing. It's like that passage I think you referred to, Romans 8, where nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No height nor depth nor any other creature shall separate us from that love.
Yet there are Christians in the congregation who have saddened hearts.
Yes. Or do they? Well, that's our old Adam. You know, our old Adam pops up, and the devil himself. You know, the devil himself is trying to sadden us. But that's why we need to stay in God's word and be comforted by his gospel.
Well, I have a different interpretation.
Okay.
Now, nothing ever saddens the joy within my heart.
Okay.
My question is, which heart?
Well,
what did David say in the Psalms? Created
me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
That's, you touched it a little bit. You have an old heart, Adam,
yes.
And you have a new heart, Adam.
Yes.
The new heart, nothing ever saddens.
Right.
Because the new heart trusts, as you were saying,
right.
The promises of God.
Right. But we do have that old Adam. And, you know, as they say, that old Adam has been drowned in our baptism, but he can swim. And he keeps, that old Adam keeps assailing us along with the devil himself.
According to the verse, why does gloom never shake us, nor foe ever take us? What's the next line?
Let's see here. Let's see. Nothing ever saddens the joy within my heart. No gloom shall ever shake. No foe shall ever take the hope which God's own Son in love for me has won. Nothing will separate us from that, as we're told in Romans 8. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So what is the hope?
The sure and certain hope that we have in the resurrection.
Excellent. Excellent.
And it's sure and certain hope. It's not just maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. It's a sure and certain hope in the resurrection.
All right, I'll read stanza 4. Now hell, its prince the devil, of all their power are shorn. Now I am safe from evil and sin, I laugh to scorn. Grim death with all its might cannot my soul affright. It is a powerless form, however it rave and storm. Did you notice what I was emphasizing?
Yes, that it's a personal thing with Paul Gerhardt when he wrote this hymn.
Yes.
He uses the pronouns my and I. It's very personal with him.
And that's what a sermon needs to do.
That's right.
When you talk about sin, we're talking about your sin, not our sin. And go ahead.
And isn't that also what the Lord's Supper does for us, Tom? It makes it very personal.
Yes. Well said. Okay. Stanza 5, please.
Let's see. Have we done 4?
Yes. Now hell is prince
of
the devil.
Okay, yeah, there we are. All right. Number 5. The world against me rages. Its fury I disdain. Though bitter war it rages, its work is all in vain. My heart from care is free. No trouble troubles me. Misfortune now is play, and night is bright as day.
And once more I ask the question, which heart is he talking about that is free from care?
He's talking about the heart that's helped by faith. The heart that Peter taught, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Yeah, that David said.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's also interesting, Tom, where it talks about, you know, we think of the enemies, the devil, the sin, the world, and the devil are our greatest enemies, right?
Well said.
The world against me rages.
But its fury I disdain.
Yes.
What does disdain mean?
We defy. We don't let it get us down. It furies. The world rages against us, but we don't. We defy it. You know, you cannot keep me down. I'm saved by my Savior.
In essence, the reason we have that kind of life of sanctification is because we're mimicking what Jesus had. The world against him raged, but its fury he disdained.
Right.
And
nothing would keep him from going to the cross in order to atone for the sins of the whole world. Nothing would keep him from in that direction.
Excellent.
Not even
all right,
one of the
I'll
disciples.
Read six.
Yes.
Now I will cling forever to Christ, my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never, whatever he passes through. He ends death's iron chain. He breaks through sin and pain. He shatters hell's grim thrall. I follow him through all. Now, once more, this verse has a lot of singulars instead of plurals.
Yes. I will cling to ever. My Savior, true.
Yes. My Lord will leave me never.
And I follow him through all.
Now, that's really important. It's the difference between law and gospel. Under the law, we do the leadership by our obedience. And then we think that Jesus will follow us. But under the gospel, Jesus is our leader.
Right.
And we follow him.
Yeah. In fact, wouldn't you say, Tom, he carries us?
What parable do you get that from?
Oh, let me think. What parable I get that? Oh, like the lost sheep.
Exactly. Jesus picks him up on his shoulders.
Right.
And that's how we follow him.
Right.
Because we are on his shoulders.
Yeah,
and
let's see what... Go ahead.
He rends death's iron chain. Okay, what does rend mean?
It tears it. You can imagine tearing a chain. But he does. That's what he does. He tears death's iron chain. He destroys death. He breaks the bonds of death.
What is the chain of death?
The chain of death? He's reduced
yes.
it. Well, it's also used in that picture where he's taken the sting out of death. He's removed its sting.
Why is there a sting?
Well, because people, death seems so final. And to the people that do not believe in Christ, of course, it is very final to them. We grieve, we do not grieve as those who do not have a hope of the resurrection. For them, death is the end. But he's taken the sting out of death. We know it's not the end. In fact,
well, we have to explain what the sting is. It's the curse of the law. What's
okay.
the curse of the law? In that the day that you sin...
In the day that you sin... I'm trying to think of that passage.
You shall surely
die.
Exactly.
In the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree thereof, you shall surely die. Yes.
That's the chain that
uh-huh.
needs to be rendered. All right. Stanza 7, please.
He brings me to the portal that leads to bliss untold, whereon this rhyme immortal is found in script of gold. who there my cross has shared finds here a crown prepared. Who there with me has died shall here be glorified.
Yes, that's a wonderful last stanza, is it not?
Yes, it is. Kind of, it reminds me of that passage, he that is faithful, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life.
Exactly. That particular quote at the end there is not a Bible verse that I'm aware of, but it's a great summary of many Bible verses. How do we share the cross of Christ?
Well, Jesus tells us, take up your cross and follow.
Exactly.
We too share in the persecution. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh still make life difficult for us.
And in our baptism, we actually are also on the cross with him.
Right. That connects us with his death. Baptism connects us with all those victories that he's won for us on the cross.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Mark Smith, in helping us with a hymn that obviously you enjoy, Awake My Heart with Gladness. And it can be sung at any of the Easter services on Sunday morning. And we'll look forward to tomorrow doing another Law and Gospel in preparation for Easter. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.